He was wounded because of our rebellious deeds, crushed because of our sins, and he endured the punishment that made us well. Because of his wounds, we have been healed. Isaiah 53:5. We started talking a couple weeks ago concerning the wounds of Jesus, and we talked about contusions to begin with. And if you'll remember, Webster's dictionary describes a wound as an injury to the body that involves a laceration or the breaking of the skin. According to classifications of the medical profession, wounds are listed in, of course, five different ways: contusions, which we spoke about, lacerations, penetrations, perforations, and incisions. And today, we'd like to look at lacerations. According to Johns Hopkins, a laceration or a cut refers to a skin wound. Unlike an abrasion, none of the skin is missing. A cut is typically thought as a wound caused by a sharp object, like a shard of glass, but lacerations tend to be caused by blunt trauma. Which brings us to the scourge. Matthew 27:26 says this: "Then he," talking about Pilate, "released Barabbas for them. But after having Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified." The New English Translation of John 19:1 says to have him severely flogged. This is common to many cultures. The Romans referred to it as verbatio. The Greeks called it flagello. The Latins called it the flagellum. And the British simply referred to it as a flogging. Many newer translations may use the term whipped, but this term is far too soft. Scourging, as many of the older versions of Scripture will say and will use, was probably the worst kind of flogging administered by ancient courts. Flogging or scourging was intended to be a punishment, not normally a form of execution, but it was certainly brutal enough to be fatal in many cases. A person certainly could be beaten to death by the scourge if that was to be desired. But its purpose wasn't just to cause great pain. Its purpose was to humiliate as well. To scourge a man was to beat him worse than you would beat an animal. It was belittling, debasing, and demeaning. It was considered such a degrading form of punishment that Roman citizens were exempt from it. The Jews allowed 40 lashes or scourges. And if you remember, Paul said that he was beaten 5 times or beaten 40 times save one. In 1 Corinthians 11, talks about that. But the Romans had no restrictions on how many times. But Roman citizens were exempt from it, and it was therefore the punishment appropriate only for slaves and non-Romans, those who were viewed to be lesser elements in the Roman society. It was to make it as humiliating as possible, and to do that, they carried out the scourgings in public. And the instrument that was used for this form was called, as we mentioned in the Latin, the flagellum or the flagrum. It was much different than what we would think of a whip today in our culture, which would only leave mere welts. This was more like the cat of nine tails, which was designed to do much worse. It usually had at least 3 thongs or strands, each as much as 3 feet long, and the strands were weighted on the ends with either lead balls, broken pottery, or pieces of bone. The instrument was designed to lacerate. The weight of the thongs struck the skin so violently that it broke open, and the church historian Eusebius of Caesarea recounts with vivid, horrible detail a scene of scourging. And this is what he says, and I quote, "For they say that the bystanders were struck, with amazement when they saw them lacerated with scourges, even to the innermost veins and arteries, so that even the inward parts of the body, both their bowels and their members, were exposed to view. The victim of a scourging was bound to a post or a frame, stripped of his clothing and beaten from the shoulders down below the waist, almost to the knees. The beating left the victim bloody and weak and in unimaginable pain, near to the point of death. The prophets foretold of the scourging of Jesus. The psalmist wrote, "The plowers plowed my back, and they have lengthened their furrows." Isaiah, in the first chapter in verse 6, says that the sole of the foot, even to the head, there was nothing sound in it, only bruises, welts, and raw wounds, not pressed out or bandaged nor softened with oil. As we've already quoted, and this time I'm reading from the New American Standard, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed." Like anything else about the death of Christ, Jesus knew he would be scourged, even to the point that he mentioned it, and he predicted his sufferings for the third time in Matthew 20:19. He says, "And they will hand him over to Gentiles to mock and to scourge and crucify him. On the third day he will be raised up." He knew that before he died and before he suffered the torture of the cross, he would endure the savage, brutal beating at the hands of the Romans, who were always ready to vent their hatred against the Jews. And he accepted those blows. And his body was ripped open at the post for us. He was taking the punishment of the sins of the world so that we might not have to suffer the consequences of our transgressions. If I may rephrase, "For by his lacerations we are healed." And as we sung, "A love like this the world has never known." Father, we come before you to remember Christ in every way. Father, we relish in remembering his grace. We joyously sing out the praises of his love. But Father, we must also remember the brutality of the pain that he suffered, a pain that was most deserving for us and not for him. And so, Father, as we remember this, as we have our minds taken back and maybe even mentally picture that vicious and cruel scene, Father, we remember that those were to be ours. That, Father, he took those wounds and he healed us of our transgressions and he cleansed us of our sins. And so, Father, we look at those maybe even in a different light. Not so much horrified by them, Father, but, Father, glorying in them because of what he has done for us. And so, Father, we lift up his name today. We lift up all that he has done for us as we remember him by partaking of this bread that represents the body that went through that beating. As we partake of the cup that represents his blood that came out from those many, many wounds. Help us, Father, to examine ourselves and to understand our need for him. For it's in his holy name that we pray.